This is Mark Cassio. I'm the head basketball coach at Catholic High School in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A couple years ago, I heard JP on a webinar talking about calling athletes up instead of out and building culture in a player-led program. And I reached out to him after. To me, the courage to open up was fairly easy because after hearing him talk, I understood what I didn't know. And I've always been a coach that wanted a really strong culture, and I would gather all these materials online and on social media, but I didn't realize that the implementation was so much more important than a fancy quote or just seeing what other teams were doing. And we have grown so much as a program working with JP because he spends time with me individually during the week on the phone, but also when he comes and works with our team and our program, he gives us the tools and the systems to be able to implement things that are important for us. What's been really great is he can cater the systems directly to our needs for our program, but also just for the resources and the time that we have. So, you know, my experience getting feedback from JP has been really powerful. I have changed my philosophy regarding X's and O's over the last 10 years as a coach. And just in the last year and a half of knowing JP, I have completely changed my philosophy on how I run my program. We are so much more player driven. I have a bunch of new tools to use as far as correcting athletes in practice, how to structure my practices, and how to structure my program. So it's been really beneficial for our staff, and especially for me as a head coach, to navigate the difficulties that come with the season.
So you just heard from Mark, who I've supported now for two seasons, and he's as good an example as any other coach who has a growth mindset when it comes to their culture and their leadership. It's really no surprise to me that he's in the basketball world, developed one of the top offensive systems in the country today. Now, the work, the support that we offer coaches through Thrive On Challenge, it requires a growth mindset because it's critical. That mindset is critical to our growth as a coach and a program. Yet it's not easy for us to adapt this mindset. And today, Nate and I are gonna dig into the challenges for us in adopting a growth mindset. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm JP Nurbin alongside my co-host Nate Sanderson. And every week in 30 minutes or less, we're giving you transformational leadership tools and strategies. This podcast is brought to you by Thrive On Challenge, which provides mentorship for coaches to help them grow as a coach and build their culture. You can learn more at thriveonchallenge.com. You're listening to episode 109, The Challenges to Having a Growth Mindset as a Coach.
Well, JP, last week we talked quite extensively about how coaches can develop a growth mindset in their players. And we kind of went through what we meant by a growth mindset, which is just this idea that your traits as a player, as a coach, as a person, whether it's your skills or your abilities, your character, like these things can all be developed over the course of time, right? That the best determinant of success is your effort towards improvement more than where you're at today. And so what we want to talk about this week is not necessarily building a growth mindset into your players and not even necessarily how to do that for yourself as a coach, but we really want to address some of the challenges and the obstacles that I think prevent coaches from embracing a growth mindset in their work. Now, you spend a lot of time with coaches. You've been in a lot of programs, especially this time of year, spending as much time as you are on the road. You get to see a lot of things. And JP, I'm just curious for you, when we think about the things that are keeping coaches from embracing that growth mindset, what are some of the challenges that you see in coaches out there today?
So I think there's a few obstacles for coaches when it comes to adapting that growth mindset, but probably the number one obstacle that I see in coaches out there, I can really relate to myself. I remember years ago when I was coaching basketball in Ireland, I used to always teach, you know, 10 toes to the rim, elbow really tucked in. And I started to actually read up and see on social media, like that there was actually other people were teaching shooting a different way. And I started reading up the reasons why they taught shooting a different way. And it kind of came to this revelation, like, oh my gosh, I've been teaching shooting the wrong way for a long time. And then, so I made the decision that I was going to start teaching shooting a different way. But when I went back in to coach it and teach it to my players, I never brought up the fact of like, that the way I've been teaching shooting and coaching you was the wrong way. Because I feel like admitting that to my players, even admitting that to myself, was saying like, I was a failure as a coach. I was a bad coach. And I think that's the number one obstacle coaches face. And I'm not even just the technical aspects of the way we teach our sport there, but just the way we lead, the way we communicate, all those things that are really important in our leadership. When we start to realize, or we start to become reflective on our own coaching, when we start to see a better way of doing things, sometimes it feels like we're saying that we were a bad coach, a bad leader. And I think that is the number one obstacle that I see in coaches. And when people can get over that obstacle is when they move to a place where they just start to see that the way I was doing things in the past was just the best I could with what I knew. And now I'm just looking for ways to do things better. And when coaches can move to that place and get over that hump, I think they're really on their way to having that growth mindset as a leader.
JP, I think you've hit it right on the head here. This is definitely one of the big challenges when it comes to fully embracing a growth mindset. And if you think about it, you're operating from the assumption that what I'm doing now could be done better. And the extension of that thought is what I'm doing now is not maybe good enough, right? Like when you acknowledge that there's a better way to teach shooting, there's an excitement that, yeah, maybe my players are going to grow and they're going to become better shooters. But there's also a feeling inside of us that says, man, I was failing my kids because I wasn't teaching them shooting the right way. And there's also a piece of that that says, I'm the head coach and I'm supposed to be the expert in my sport, or I'm supposed to be the leader of the program that has all the answers. And as soon as you start to acknowledge that there might be a better way, there's part of us that just feels like, well, maybe we don't have all the answers and we're supposed to. So all of those emotions can sort of get swirled around and make it difficult for us to really aggressively have an open mind and look for ways to do things better. Now, the antidote to that feeling, the antidote to that sort of emotional mixture to me is once you've found a place and you've experienced growth. So we can go back to your example of teaching shooting in a different way. Once you start to see your players being more effective with their shots, or they're learning to shoot more accurately quicker because you've used a different way, that feeling of discovering something that's better for your players or better for your program far outweighs what it felt like initially to say what we were just doing wasn't good enough. And I think once you, it's almost intoxicating in a way that when you find something and you put it into your program, or you teach a different way, you interact with players a different way, and you get a great response, it becomes really motivating to say, now what's next? You know, you almost come at it with a curiosity of what else can we improve? Because I know we can do other things better as well.
Yeah, that experiencing growth piece is so important. I look back kind of when I started to really start to adapt that growth mindset. And you started to see these small wins in your relationships with your players and your growth in your culture. And I only just, then all of a sudden, I just wanted more. I wanted more because I had seen that growth. I think that's a big component of it. And I think another obstacle that coaches face is this trying new things, this fear of like, if I try this, what happens if it fails? It makes me think back on a college basketball coach that I was working with a few years ago, Nate. And she had coached a certain way when it came to disciplining her players, where it was mainly she'd yell at them, she'd scream at them, she'd put them on the line and make them run. And we worked for a good long while on a new way to do that. What I kind of talk about is transformational discipline, a way of disciplining that's building character, that's nurturing relationship. And yes, you're hoping to get some compliance as far as the way you want to do things within your program. And we walk through a kind of a framework on how to do that and the way to support players and their standards. And we spend all this time going through this, and she's completely bought in and she feels like she's got a pretty good understanding of what to do. But then she turned to me and asked the question, well, what happens if I do all of this and my players still don't do what I want them to do? So she still has this fear. And I know that one of the big challenges in that moment was not just the fear of starting, but also probably the fear of like, when it doesn't go exactly the way that she sees it, a falling back into old habits. And that's a real obstacle, is this fear of what happens when things don't go according to plan when I try something new.
Well, JP, I know even in my own experience, you know, there's always that fear of trying something new and it may not work, as you described. I think there's also a piece of it that says, what about things that seem to have worked for me over the course of my career? Like, we've been running the same offense, or I've dealt with discipline in the same way, or we've always done our parent meeting this way, and it seems to work, so why try something that might not work when I know this will get the job done? And I think of our, you know, the way that we approach our parent meeting now is a lot different than what we did 10 years ago in terms of trying to engage parents in conversation. We have a parent experience night where they go out and they get to try a practice that's led by our players. And, you know, we're trying to be a lot more involving of our parents in our program. And the first time that we did that, my last year at Springville, I remember that parent meeting, walking into the, you know, the ground floor of the ICN classroom, and all the parents are lined up in these chairs, and we went through the traditional stuff and the, you know, and the manual, and I got to the end of the meeting, the last 30 minutes, and I just said, all right, we're going to try something that's either going to change the world or we're never going to do anything like this again. And we sort of set the stage for, we're going to do something better just to see if it would be better for everybody. And if it's not, we're not afraid to fail and go back to doing what we were doing. And I just think it takes a certain level of courage to say it's worth trying to see if it would work, even if it fails. That sometimes prevents coaches from deviating from what they know has worked for them to try to find something that could work better for everyone.
Yeah, and one of the things that I see coaches do a lot as they maybe have this idea or something they want to try out that would be a better way of doing things is we mentally shift to a place of all the reasons it's not going to work. You know, we start to pick holes. And I think it's important to explore and to see what are the obstacles to making this a success. But I think there are a certain point, you have to move to a point where you just say, you know what, the way that we're doing things now is fine, it's good, but let's try to make this better and let's just go give it a go, you know, and not get caught up in all the things that could go wrong. And I think, like you talked about there, having the courage to do that is really, really important.
The other thing, JP, that's hard about trying new things is that the odds of that new thing, that new plan, that new approach working the optimal way the very first time that you do it is not very good. Like, it's going to take repetitions of doing something new to be able to make it work. I'll give you an example. We're having a debate on our staff right now. We're a month before we start our season, about implementing sort of a version of the competitive cauldron, but just with shooting drills. And so, long story short, like, we were listening to TJ Rosine from Point Guard College talk about this shooting ladder, this competitive thing that he does in his practices. And he basically says they've done it for 3 or 4 years, that he feels like it's the most important thing that they do in their program. So this just got me and my assistant thinking about how could we do this in our program? Like, it would take more time. It would take time away from other things. I don't know if we can fit it in our gym. Like, there's a lot of reasons why it might not work, but the advantages are so enticing. And so we started doing some experimentation in our open gyms with just some of the shooting games that we might use, right? And the first time we did 4 of these shooting games the other night, it was a disaster. Like, they'd never done the drills before. You know, you're trying to get rebounders to work really hard so you can get a lot of shots up in a short amount of time. Our shot efficiency wasn't great. The relocation wasn't great. Our accuracy wasn't great. You know, we're learning how to get all these different groups on side baskets and not run into each other. But talking to the players afterwards, even though they realized, gosh, coach, I think we could have done this better, they were so excited about the concept, like the idea of just getting a lot of shots and making it competitive and keeping track, that we're pretty motivated to try and see if we can work this thing out, even though we know we may not get it figured out for a year. But is it worth it? Like, when you decide it's worth it to grow in a certain area, you have to start taking steps and you have to start experiencing failure before you can make that thing work. And that is so uncomfortable, you know. And again, you're just battling with, well, we know we can get shots in this. We don't know exactly how to do this yet, but we feel like it could be better. We have to walk through that middle ground of failing and trying again, doing it wrong and figuring out how to do it right.
Now, in that story, Nate, you actually have players that are excited about some changes that you're making, you know, this new idea, this shooting ladder. But a lot of times, coaches, we have this idea we come to a place where we're going to try something new with our program, and maybe our assistant coaches, maybe the players, and maybe even the parents are really resistant to this new idea. And that can be really challenging for us to have the courage when maybe there's not the excitement energy that we have is shared by other people in our program.
Certainly when you try new things that are unfamiliar to others, you're not always going to get that buy-in. I mean, I remember when I started at Linmar, you know, we'd come from a small school. We had won a couple state titles playing zone defense and, you know, running a certain offense. And I was kind of faced with this decision of, do we keep doing what I've been doing, like what I knew to be successful for my programs up until this point in my career, and implement all of that in year one? Or do we try to take what, you know, the previous coach had been doing before and just sort of gradually make, you know, incremental changes over the next few years to get it to the place that I wanted it to go? And, you know, I remember looking at Matt Campbell at Iowa State and thinking they didn't bring Matt Campbell in to keep doing what Paul Rhodes was doing before. And so we just made this decision that, right or wrong, we're going to implement what I know. And so we changed probably 98% of everything in the program. Offense, defense, weightlifting, film sessions, how we practice. I mean, you name it. It was different than what had been done before. And then, you know, you cap that off with we were 3-19. And there's plenty of people that thought, geez, coach comes in, he does what he knows. I don't think he knows very much about what he's doing, you know? And for me, like, there's certainly a lot of that was uncomfortable when things don't work right away. But I found some solace in this quote that I just kept running through my mind of, you know, we're starting with what we know and we grow from there. And I think the tension that we experience as coaches when we're growing is that most people on the outside of our program would look and say, if this is what he knows, he doesn't know much. And if I was being honest with you, I don't think my strength coming into building our program at Linmar is what I knew or what I even know today. I think my strength as a coach is the ability to grow from what we know today. In other words, our ability to get feedback and be critical about what we're doing and have creative ideas of ways to do it better. And if you look at what we do in year three versus year one, we changed 98% in year one from what the coach did before that. We're probably doing 45 to 50% things differently in year three than we did in year one, because we're continuing to evolve and figure out what works here, what works with these kids, what works in this culture and in this environment, and embracing the opportunity to continue to grow.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, Nate, because I've been working with so many coaches this off season, and we've been trying to prepare for the season ahead. And that a lot of coaches really find solace in having a plan that they think is well thought out, to really build their culture, to make these changes they want for the upcoming year. And that's great. I think it's important to have that plan. But what's more important than having put that thought in, even, I think, even beforehand, is what you're talking about there, is when they get into it, when they get into the thick of the season and the obstacles come up, the challenges come up, do they have a growth mindset then? Are they constantly seeing when things don't go the way they want it? Are they just abandoning ship and going back to the old way of doing things? Or are they looking to find out what are the tweaks that they need to make throughout the year? Because the ideas they had were good, they just need some adjustments.
JP, ultimately, if we start, again, sort of looking for a common thread in all of these challenges that all of us face as coaches when we're trying new things, whether it's the fear of failure, whether it's the fear of an idea not working, or the fear of people not being bought in or, you know, committing to a new idea, I think ultimately it often is that feeling that prevents us from growing. And the thing that I've found is, you know, difficult but so important is that we have to be able to separate ourselves and our own sense of self-worth, our own validation as a coach, our own just concept of our, you know, ability to coach with the idea that you're talking about. In other words, if we try the shooting ladder and it fails, I have to have some buffers up. I have to have some emotional maturity that I don't take that as a personal failure. Because if I'm afraid of feeling failure personally every time a new idea doesn't work, or I'm going to be criticized personally every time we try something and it fails, then I'm going to be hesitant to ever move out of my comfort zone, to ever look for ways of doing things better, because I see myself at stake. My sense of self is at stake. My own concept, my own self-esteem is at stake rather than just being able to focus on an idea that's separate from me that we can talk about objectively and say, is this good for us or not? Can we do this better or not without me being at stake in the argument?
So Nate, just to wrap up, there's a quick story about Mark Cassio, you know, who shared his experience at the start of this podcast. I remember last season when I spoke to his parents at a workshop that I was giving. He prefaced my talk. He introduced me with the story of how he brought me in to primarily really work with him in a mentorship role on his own coaching to help him grow as a coach. Now, the talk that I gave was very well received. I remember getting a lot of positive feedback at the end from parents that came up to me. But what really stuck with me the most was the father who came up to me, put his arm on my shoulder and said to me, if Coach Cassio is willing to learn and grow, if he's willing to change, then I guess I have to be willing to change. I have to be willing to grow as well. I mean, that's just, it was just an incredible moment. And that's really what we're going to jump into more next week, are ways for us to model a growth mindset. But before we can model a growth mindset to our players and even our parents, we have to possess it ourselves. We need to remember a growth mindset is a quality of strength. It's not weakness. So my encouragement to coaches is to not be so focused on proving ourselves as coaches, but on improving ourselves. I know when I see coaches with something to prove, they are missing out on a lot of opportunities to improve. And so whether you are approaching a new season or you are entering an off season, if you're interested in learning more about our mentorship program, I'd encourage you to schedule a call right now. You can go to thriveonchallenge.com or you can click on the link in the episode details of this episode. And while I'm not currently taking on any new coaches at this moment, our mentorship team of Nate Sanderson and Shane Sowden are looking to work with a few more coaches this winter. And we hope you will take this powerful step if it's the right move for you. So schedule a call today.